All right. Now, just we lay this track because this is about content again. And as much as we love filling the studio, there's millions of people that listen, watch the playbook, whether it be SiriusXM, Apple TV, Reach TV at the airport. So when you start building your brand and building your content, you want to make sure that a lot of times you're not talking to the live audience. Even when I'm on the Aspire Business Tour and there's 4,000 people on those with Goggins, me, Damon, and whoever else, Tim Story, I'm really trying to lay down content. I'm trying to think about these little one-liners like good voices, good choices, and, you know, be more interested than interesting. It's really important to understand that because a lot of times can get caught up in the moment when you're with your heroes of hot dogs, you know, and you're a hot dog king. This is an exciting moment for me. Everybody has these social silos now, so we have these superheroes that nobody's ever heard of. And Richard Pink here is culturally an establishment of Los Angeles. He's also in Ohio at Cedar Point, I found, which is super cool. But we're super honored to have Richard Pink here with us as the founder of Pink Hot Dogs, this institution, and an extraordinary entrepreneur, because it's one thing to build a business that makes money. It's another thing to become an institution. And that's really what Richard has done and what I want him to talk about, because he's built a community and a brand more than just delicious food that he's served for how many years now? 85.
Older than me.
Older than you. And my first question was going to be, and I found out by reading his name early on, having him on, was why Pink's Hot Dog, but that became obvious. I was glad it wasn't why it's like Pink's Donuts in Vegas. Have you seen the billboards? Whole different culture. But who did found Pink Hot Dogs 85 years ago?
Paul and Betty Pink. Back in 1939, they were out of work. They were looking for a job in the newspaper, and they happened to have run across an ad for a hot dog cart. And my mother said to my father, why don't you buy the hot dog cart and we'll set up a hot dog business, because everybody loves hot dogs. They got to eat. And my dad said, well, how much is the cart? And my mom said, well, right here it says it's $50. And my dad said, where are we going to get the $50? Okay. So my grandmother loaned him the $50 to buy this hot dog cart that was located about 2 miles away from Pink's. My mother went down there. I don't know what my dad was doing, but my mother went down there and wheeled that cart all the way up Melrose Avenue to plant it on the current site where it is today at the corner of La Brea and Melrose. And the rent at that time was $15. And they had a couple of signs that said hot dogs were 10 cents. Cokes were a nickel, and actually it was an electric cart, and they had no electricity on the site at all. So they had to go out and buy a 100-yard extension cord in order to fire up that cart. And then they went into business, and they worked that hot dog cart for the next 2 years. And then the landlord, as landlords do, raised their rent from $15 to $25. I know that sounds absurd today, but that's 67%. Okay. And they didn't have the money to pay that rent. And they, fortunately, there was a Bank of America branch across the street. They went over to the branch manager and they said, you know, I think we can buy this property. And he said, well, you want a loan? What kind of collateral do you have? We don't have any collateral. We don't own anything. We've got a great hot dog. He says, well, I don't want you guys to move. I eat lunch there every single day. You know, what do you need? And they said, I think that, you know, we can arrange it that all we need is $4,000. And Bank of America loaned my parents the $4,000 to buy that property in 1941. And they celebrated by putting a little awning over their hot dog cart. And that's the way it looked for the next 5 years till 1946, which is where a cousin of ours actually built the stand that is there today at La Brea and Melrose. And so what you go to Pink's, it's absolutely the authentic stand that was built back in 1946.
Can I ask, you don't have to answer, but I'm just curious, at least ballpark, what's the rent today? if they were going to rent it back out.
Well, I would say the rent today, using, you know, that kind of projection, about $5,000 a month. And
a lot more than,
frankly,
$50.
We probably could get 15 or 20, but that's what it is.
That's amazing. Now, things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden. And for you, at what age did you start working there? And when did you decide that that would be your journey?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that.
It always is. Right. That's why I asked.
So my parents did not want me to be a grill man. Okay. Let's put it that way. And so they sent me off to get an undergrad degree at UCLA, a grad degree at USC, an MBA, a law degree at Loyola. And I always say that's what it takes to run a hot dog stand today. Okay.
Yeah. That's okay. My mom always told me, doctor, lawyer, failure.
Right.
And thank to Dr. Sean Dill, I had an honorary doctorate in humanities. Am a lawyer from Tulane Law School. And as everybody knows, a huge failure. So 3 months ago when my mom passed, the last conversation that I had with her, and it was beautiful because I got to tell her, Mom, and she recognized me that day. I said, Mom, I did it. I'm a doctor, a lawyer, and a failure. And she said, I'm so proud of you, especially for being such a good failure.
Right.
She always said I could fail better than anyone. And I somehow, fall into a gutter and come out smelling like roses.
Well, you're definitely smelling like roses.
Now,
no, basically, so my parents, at the time that they reached in their 80s, they decided it was just too complicated to run Pink's. It had already become well-known, heavy amount of volume, lots of ordering, lots of staff, and
big
all of
menu.
That. And a big menu. And they actually asked my wife, who was teaching school at the time, to leave teaching and come in and take over Pink's. So she basically ran Pink's for the next 25 years.
Which years were those?
They were basically 1986 till, 2000 and something.
Wow.
And I had then, at that point, retired from my real estate law career and came in and took over. But while she was running it, we went from just 3-4 hot dogs on the menu to over 40 hot dogs on the menu. Okay, so it's a very diverse menu, lots of things to choose from, and lots of fun when you're waiting in line, deciding what you're going to order. And nobody can ever make up their mind until the moment they get to the cashier. Oh, okay, I think I'll have that. But and 12 varieties of burgers. So the other part of Pink's is that we're in Hollywood, and we're really right in the middle of where all the studios are. So all young actors that were coming to Pink's, all they could afford was a hot dog, and they would come to Pink's, and we had a wall. And they would just tack their picture up on the wall, hoping that some of the more well-known celebrities that were coming in for hot dogs would discover them, give them a call. And they say Michael J. Fox actually got his call on our public phone.
That's awesome.
At Pink's. And, now we have over 250 celebrities that are on the wall. The one that comes up the most, believe it or not, on Jeopardy is who holds the all-time record for the most hot dogs eaten at one sitting. And the answer is Orson Welles, 18. And my dad counted them.
It's better than Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
I asked Richard why he's not the location for the 4th of July hot dog eating contest. He said, because Pink's has a quality hot dog with a casing on it, so they choke to death if they eat that many hot dogs.
Well, that's true. People ask me, how many hot dogs have I had in my life? And I say, I've had so many hot dogs, my skin has turned to natural casing.
Nice. Well, it's good. It's suiting you well. speaking of National Hot Dog Days, America's built on, of course, baseball, which the All-Star Game is going on right now.
Right.
Hot dogs and lemonade. And that's the old saying. And a lot of people want to go back to that culture of America. And we have National Hot Dog Day tomorrow.
That's right. And so how we're celebrating tomorrow is that the first 250 customers that come to Pink's, which will probably be between 9:30 in the morning when we open and maybe 11 o'clock or so, the hot dogs are free, okay? And then the next celebration is right after that, the next 250 hot dogs, 100% of the proceeds, not just profits, 100% will go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. So that's how we're celebrating. And we do a lot of chili dogs for charity. I mean,
and Chili Dog Day is coming up too.
Chili Dog Day, July
31. I love your
31.
Chili Dog, by the way.
Thank you.
Doug Mortman, the executive that's here with, I brought him to Pink's for the very first time, the executives from Sirius. I couldn't believe they were that close and hadn't gone there yet. And so now they're regulars there, but they're looking for the David Meltzer picture on the wall between the thousands.
Well, you are a star.
There we go.
You should have your picture on the wall.
Hint, hint. I would love to be there.
And then maybe you'll get discovered.
Finally. Well, everyone thinks I'm John Lovitz anyway, so I've already really made my mark.
Yeah, his voice.
He's up there already, so they're just saying, God, John Lovitz, he lost a little weight, a little younger now. One of the things I enjoy about Pink's as well on the entrepreneurial side is the employees. You know, my greatest joy of being an executive of so many businesses and working with so many people, they tell me how amazing all the people that work with me are, and they are. I will tell you, the first time I took all the executives of Sirius over there, that was the first thing they noticed. How does that guy remember that? They were waiting for the order to be, and how crowded it was, like, how are they so engaged and present and listening to you and giving you advice and having fun with you and their little sayings? You have great employees.
Our employees have been with Pink's 20, 25, 30 years, okay? In terms of compensation, we bonus them every weekend. So in addition to their normal salary based on volume, every weekend, so every Monday morning they get a bonus, a cash bonus, or a check, you know.
We're not going to publish that. Cut that out. The IRS says,
right. No, they get a check. But it's to make the point.
The first time I went to Pink's as a young guy, I was like, I'm surprised it doesn't have that, you know, New York cash only sign outside.
No.
Yeah, but, no. But they take everything. Venmo, Stripe, fan bases.
I'll tell you, just last week, Fodor's Travel Magazine came out with the top 12 hot dog stands in the country, and Pink's was number one.
Surprise!
And
amazing.
I attribute it all to our employees. I mean, and you know, you talk about how they remember it. I often kid, okay, but I'll say this, that I only hire employees with 180 IQ or higher.
Nice.
Because they never write anything down. It's remarkable. You have a hot dog and light on the mustard, heavy on the onions, just a little bit of chili, all that. And they remember all that. It's great. Extraordinary because they don't write anything down.
But bigger than the memories is the attitude. And beyond bonusing people, which is one of the things as an executive coach I talk about, because employees will forget their salary.
Mm-hmm.
They never forget a bonus. And it's a huge lesson in running a business that when you give somebody a raise by December, they forgot you gave them the raise and they don't feel appreciated or acknowledged. But if you're giving a bonus, which I do every quarter in a different type of business, it would be hard to calculate weekly what our revenue was. But to that end, there's never this lack of appreciation. Beyond these memories, what personalities, you know, you've got people to stay for a long time, and it goes beyond that. It's really, for me, acknowledgement and appreciation that I have found that people want to stay with the same business for that long.
I think they model themselves off of their boss. And if I'm appreciative and I'm smiling and I'm friendly, not only to them, but to customers, they say that's how Richard wants us to be. And I mean, there's times when you give reminder notices to them, you know, smile when they come in. So how are you doing today? Thank you for coming to Pink's. All of that matters to a customer because they're being recognized as an individual and they're not just a number, if you will. But it takes a certain personality, but they learn from one another as well, how to properly talk to customers and make everybody feel welcome and special. And it sounds like it's succeeding because what you just described really makes me feel so good to hear.
Well, it is true.
Experience.
And my family and friends who all are up here and even travel from other places and visit, it's one of the first places, just like I took the executives from Sirius there as well to make sure they know about it. And now having you be able to cater our events and masterminds, we're super excited for your generosity and all your help. So thank you.
Well, we're glad to do that. But the other element in terms of, you know, what makes a successful business, okay, so a couple of them. When the hot dog, the chili you have today is the same one you had in 1939 if you were around at that time. Okay, total consistency, total predictability. Everybody gets what they expect. The other thing, particularly now that social media is so relevant and so impactful is that we created so many different ways in which you can take a picture. We have a paparazzi wall.
Yeah.
We have a wall with, you know, cartoon characters on it everywhere you can, so that we can get all those followers and people will see, gee, you know, I follow so-and-so and they're at Pink's. We got to, you know, get there.
I have a question. Once again, don't ever have to answer any of them. Everything I do is editable. But the building next to Pink's here.
Yes.
Do you own that? I figured you did.
Okay. So that building, I painted all pink.
Yes, awesome.
All part of the spirit of having something unusual, different for people to take pictures of. And so I think that, you know, that's so relevant, creating an atmosphere that people remember and is part of their memories. And now, since, you know, with social media, it's so
incredible.
Huge. Yeah. So
now,
branding is so big right now. People have got to be thinking of you, and they think, oh, hot dogs, I got to go to Pink's.
Now, you and your wife obviously have open minds, open hearts, and open hands, indicative of what you're doing on the hot dog day on July 17th, chili dog day, but just every day since I've been involved in as a customer and a fan.
Thank you.
But the open-mindedness of the things that you're doing, a lot of people our age are closed-minded when it comes to social media, especially if they have an established institution. They don't want to adopt or adapt some of the more amplified social media, AI, great technologies, and it's causing the PE firms to roll up businesses that are closed-minded. So they'll take the electricians or the accountants that keep doing things the same way profitably and say, wow, if we instituted social media, AI, a POS system, a CRM, an ERP, whatever it may be, we can create exponential profit. But then they dissipate the brand and the community because it becomes part of a venture capital, not a family-owned business. For you, that open-mindedness, how critical has that been for 85 years from your parents to you guys to have an open mind to do all the things? I can, it's just consistent throughout the journey of open-minded, open-hearted, and open-handed attitude.
Well, thank you for saying all of that. I have to say that it all sort of began when we started celebrating our anniversaries. And for example, just recently we had our 85th anniversary and we sold chili dogs for charity for 85 cents for 85 minutes for 8 days. And each night we had a different celebrity come to Pink's and we would give 100% of the proceeds during that 85 minutes to the charity of their choice. So, you know, whether it was George Lopez that came or Gabriel Iglesias that came or other celebrities, you know, I mean, it was our way of giving back. But it was also part of, I think, the karma of running a business, that people really appreciate that. And so whether it was open-mindedness about new hot dogs on the menu or take those that weren't selling and put new ones on, that was all part of that idea of constantly thinking, how can we evolve? How can we improve?
Experiences. For me, I look at three different ways that I can provide value to people. One is experiential, which has become more and more valuable. That's why you see these concerts selling out, why you see people wanting more personal interaction. They want experiences. Two, business development. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that Pink is established here in the community. And right. And then this idea of post-production content that you have mastered as using Pink's as a stage, including the building next door as a stage.
I call it the longest running show in Hollywood.
Yeah, and it is. It's so cool because I look at life the same way. I think Shakespeare had it right. He was just a few thousand years early, that the whole world is your stage.
Right.
And if you capture the experience, modify it today correctly, amplify it correctly, and then create a perpetual silo of your essence, your energy, your frequency. The actual silo feeds backwards now. So the old days, you had a website, but it never fed you backwards. You have to kept on paying for SEO so that people drive traffic to your website, but the website didn't automatically feed it. Without any advertising dollars, the whole basis of social media with every platform is that if people are engaged with you, they're going to want to feed you more of you. because they make their money off of people staying and watching you, and they know that you like pink hot dogs, so they're going to keep shoving pink hot dogs back to you and all the people that go to pink hot dogs and anything involved with that. You provide an experience.
That is critical. The food's got to be good, but people will remember the experience, and they're coming for that. They're coming for the fun. They're coming for the happiness. They're coming for the chance to bring the family. All of that is experience. Taking photos is experience. So I put that up with atmosphere, and experience is just so critical that when you walk into any business, the atmosphere has got to be interesting, inviting, attractive, and that's what we tried to create with Pink's.
So now, Richard, you don't know this about me. My father, who went to law school and was a commercial realtor, syndicator of real estate, he started, and he had nine of them, in Houston, Texas, something called the Doghouse, D-A-W-G. Oh, he was from Ohio. Yeah. So he created the Doghouse. It was, the first one was across from the police station. So didn't really have Hollywood there in Houston, but he had the Galleria and other places. But he ran his real estate business out of the back of the Doghouse.
No kidding.
Because he was a personality. And he made an experience out of it. He'd come out and, you know, old Jewish guy kibitzing with everybody would say, and he also got more real estate business because he'd come out. And they're all Vienna beef, Chicago style hot dog. His partner was from Chicago.
Sure.
And they did extremely well. But one of the things he realized was as he expanded them and he wasn't there, that they failed miserably for two reasons. He didn't have the oversight. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of theft. Like people would steal, wrap up a whole, you know, corned beef and throw it away and then come back at night and pick it out of the trash can. But also just the experience. You guys are personally involved. As you hand this off to the future generations, how have you cemented the legacy of that culture to make sure that people still have that same experience in the next 85 years?
Well, even though Pink's is known for its location, La Brea and Melrose, we have 10 other locations.
Right.
Okay.
Including Cedar Point.
Okay. And what I did was I said the only way I can expand and know that the quality is going to be maintained is by an extremely experienced franchisee. So the condition is they have to already own 10 restaurants and they have to already have 250 employees in place. So when I train them, they know what they're doing. And I didn't go into the franchise business. I went into the licensing business so that it could protect the integrity of our name, our brand, the quality. It wouldn't, you know, change. And they have to follow our specifications to a T. But a lot of people went into franchising, and I didn't want to do that. And I didn't expand. First of all, I had already, you know, spent my life in a career. So had I started at 35, maybe I would have. But I'm glad with what I did in my career. I'm happy for that. But the reality is that we wanted to make sure whoever took on the name Pink's already was very experienced, and they would not compromise on the quality. And so that's how we did it.
Much smarter than my dad. which is why nobody's ever heard of the Doghouse, and they only know pink hot dog, which is awesome. We're going to take an opportunity since we have people here. You're such an extraordinary entrepreneur, great community builder in our community, doing so much to help other people. You know, my motto is make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. I look for companies like yours that do exactly that. I was hoping maybe, Nick, we could take a question from the crowd here. Oh, Forbes Riley's here. Hi, Forbes.
Hello, Mr. David Meltzer. How are you?
Let's give Forbes Riley a big round of applause.
What a phenomenal studio, and nice to finally meet you. I've had enough of your product to last a lifetime.
Well, you don't look it.
Well, I don't eat the bun.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
That's
the diet dog.
That and lots of sauerkraut.
Right.
How did you guys, you know, it's funny, by the way, I don't know if you know me, but I'm rather famous when it comes to infomercials. You've seen me on the Jacqueline Power Juicer, took that company to $1 billion.
Wow.
I know. So we can stick a hot dog in a juicer. We could do something.
Okay.
Sounds so disgusting. how did you guys...
Those are kind of erotic.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, David. But that's Sirius XM After Dark.
That's where my mind is. Oh, a hot dog and a juicer. Who has my phone? I'm kidding.
You want the show to get syndicated? Just keep this going, my friend. But seriously, how did you weather during the pandemic? I moved to Florida to weather it a little bit better, but it was kind of crazy out here.
Weather in Florida sucks.
You're not going to have to get into it. But how did you weather the entire pandemic? I saw so many places similar, just shut down and be destroyed by all this.
We shut down. March 15th, when it became just too dangerous for our employees to be together, could get COVID, we closed for 5 months.
Right.
And then we opened again for 3 months. And then you couldn't get an ambulance in L.A. in January of 2021. It was so bad, even though it was after 2020, that we closed again for another 2 months. And all my employees came back. I mean, that was very fortunate, but we shut down. I did not want customers. I did not want my employees to get sick, period, end of story. And I could have done a takeout business and all that, but I would have been sacrificing people's health. So I said, no, we're closing.
That's brilliant. Is there a secret sauce that whenever I drive by your place, there's a line down the entire block? How do you recommend other places do that?
Do they get a line that long?
Yes, I've just never seen it, and it's consistent in all the years I've been here, and it's quite envious.
It's the best word of mouth there is to have a line in front of your restaurant. It's true. But what we do is we have to have affordable prices. We have to have good quality food. And fortunately, we're known now throughout the country, you know, because of cable television and other forms of media that, you know, people hear of us. So a lot of people, I mean, I have people coming in from Europe with their suitcases. So they come in before they go to the hotel because they heard about it. You know, I got to go there. It's on their bucket list.
Congratulations. Yeah.
My backpack smells like hot dogs sometimes. And I go to a meeting like, what the?
That's a whole other conversation, dude. Yeah.
It's so good. By the way, P.T. Barnum has a great saying. Anyone loves The Greatest Showman or studying P.T. Barnum, who's another great entrepreneur. But my concept, I've done meetups for over 10 years, where every city I go to, 200 a year, where I put it out there, I'm here to help, come meet me, I'll answer questions, make introductions. But we've learned that rule, Nick and I, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. And so, true. You know, any great nightlife guy, hospitality person will know nothing draws a crowd like a crowd.
And yeah, people will ask me, can't you reduce the crowd? I mean, can't you reduce the line? That's what they're there
exactly.
for.
Exactly.
Great advertising. You know, I mean, if that many people are lined up, it must be good, that type of thing.
This is my older sister, Lori. So go ahead, Lori.
Well, and we're lucky to be in a place with In-N-Out, Tommy's.
That's right. All the great ones.
Carl's
Jr. started.
Don't say Taco Bell.
No, they all started in SoCal.
I know. Jack in the Box started in SoCal. McDonald's started in SoCal.
And Pink's, of course. Yeah. But I have a quick, when you made that decision, what was a big deal to put a hamburger on your menu? I mean, did people lose their minds? Or did you just say, no, my mom says we're putting hamburgers on?
I wanted people to have a choice. I mean, there are hamburger lovers out there, okay? And I just wanted to create a really good hamburger with 12 varieties of different kinds of toppings, pastrami and mushroom and all sorts of things.
Oh, they're good.
But I wanted that choice. You know, it's interesting, though. At Pink's, 20% of our business is hamburgers. I mean, so it's not that big. But you go, the further you get from Pink's into Las Vegas or Ohio, they go 50-50. Hamburgers are extremely popular. And, you know, when people come to Pink's, they say, oh, hot dogs, of course. I got to have that. That's a signature dish. But burgers gave people that choice. Just like I have vegan dogs on the menu and everyone go, oh, it should be an all-beef dog. No, we got a lot of vegan people out there.
Last question, and then I have one comment. Go ahead.
Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
When was the time that you first have your marketing campaign? What did you do your first to promote your business? And how much has been changed since then?
Okay. The first one was my wife. Okay. I said, work the left side of the dial on the radio to the right side. And what did I mean by that? Call every DJ, every broadcaster and say, love your show. I'm going to bring hot dogs to the show. That was it. No advertising at all. We're just going to bring hot dogs to the show. So you get to the show and the guy says, gee, how long's Pink's been around? That time was around 55 years or so. Oh, that's quite a story. You know, where you started with a pushcart. You got to come on the air. And so all of a sudden, our business built beyond the 3-mile radius that most businesses draw from to all over Southern California, because they heard my wife on the radio telling the history. And all she had to do was bring some free hot dogs to the station. That is really how it started. But I think the tipping point for Pink's was when cable came out, and they used to say that instead of going to black, cable would go to pink. See? So, and there was another character also, and maybe some of you know Huell Howser, and Huell Howser really kind of put us on the map because he would do a number of shows at Pink's. But cable going nationally, and then once it went national, Food Channel, Travel Channel, it came in from Europe and Asia, and everybody was doing that. So that kind of got us truly on the world map of people knowing us, so when they came to LA, they would want to do it. But it started with my wife working the left side of the radio to the right.
And nowadays, that was the first marketing campaign. Now it's the most recent, because he's doing the same thing here with us today. We'll have Pink's for dinner. So we appreciate you so much.
Thank you
so much. One quick, because we have 2 minutes. With such a family legacy and all that you've learned throughout this process, you know, someone asked me, what would you like your parents to say to you after seeing what you're doing? And I always say, I just want them to tell me, you know, that they love me, they're proud of me, and they got my back. For you, looking at what you've grown and done with their vision, what would you like your parents to say for you?
You have honored us. You have made us proud. You have taken what we started with a little pushcart and turned it into something that is really special and big and successful, and it's putting food on your table, Richard, because that's kind of how they started. But the real homage to my parents, and I worked so hard to have the LA City Council do this, they designated the intersection of La Brea and Melrose as Pink Square as a way to honor my parents.
God bless America. Hot dogs and lemonade, and especially Pink's hot dogs. You got it. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.